Heavenly Father, we thank you again for today. What a great day that you have given us, that you've blessed us with. And Lord, as we have entered into this place of worship, Lord, we just pray that you'll visit with us here this morning. And Lord, as you visit with us, I pray, Father, that you'll be pleased with our hearts. You'll be pleased with the worship that takes place. Lord, I just pray now that you are magnified, that you are glorified, and that in this place we make much of you. We make much of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we make much of the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us. Again, Father, we love you today, and we thank you, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to do something now that I don't typically do, but I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to hear my heart this morning. I ask God why I should play an invitation song right before I preach. And he said, you don't worry about it, you just be obedient. So if you're here this morning and you need Jesus, there's a line in that song that says, let today be the day. So if you need Jesus today, I want you to just open your eyes and look up at me. I see that. I see that. I see you. I see everyone looking at me. All right. Guess what? It's more important than me seeing you as he sees you and he knows you. As we continue to bow and our eyes are closed, I just want you to think in this moment. Is the words of that song your hope? Is that your hope? If it's not, then before you leave today, let's make it your hope. Let's make it your hope. And I get we're going to go into the message, and we're going to hear a sermon this morning. But I just pray that as we do that, that if God's speaking to you right now in this moment, that you won't shut him out. You won't turn him off, and you'll listen to the rest of the message for the rest of the day. You know why I tell you that and why I want to encourage you to do that? Because he's got a word for you. He wants you to hear something that might be said in this place. And in this moment, if you've made that decision, you know what? Today's going to be the day. Hey, when we get to the end, I want you to come forward. And I want you to tell me, you know what? Today's the day that I'm ready to give it to him. And you know what we'll do? We'll celebrate that. We'll worship King Jesus for what he's done in your life. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go to Children's Church, and we're going to go into our service, into our message. Father, we thank you again for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the rivers of grace. In Jesus, because of you, we have a hope. Because of you, we can stand up and say, come, Jesus, come. And we know that the next day will be the best day that we can ever experience. So, God, we just thank you again for this morning. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for the work that you're doing in the lives of your people. And God, most importantly, we thank you that you love us enough to do it for us. So, Father, as we go now to hear the word that you've laid on this humble pastor's heart, I pray, Lord, that you speak to us, lead us, and guide us in a mighty way. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. It's in your name we pray. Amen. If you were here last week, Harley was here and she spoke. And I actually had a message planned to deliver last week. And I gave you like the first paragraph of that and shared some scripture with you. And I was planning to preach that this week. And then God, you know how God works. He has different plans. And usually they're a whole lot better than mine. Let me back up. They're always better than mine. Not usually. They're always better than mine. So it was a blessing to see and hear from Harley last week. But I left just amazed, because if you were here about 3 years ago when she first came, it was night and day difference of somebody that was stepping out in faith and scared to death, not even really talking in front of people, just, you know, scared to death. And then you see her up here last week and just relaxed and calm. And my goodness, I was amazed that the change that God had done in her we think that's a long time, but that's 2.5-3 years. That's a short period of time. But then I think about as she started saying, well, we do this and we do this and I do this. And I asked her that question. Y'all remember? I said, man, do you sleep? But the reality in that is she was obedient and she was faithful, even though she was scared to death. And now look at what God's got her doing. He's got her working for the kingdom in just all kind of ways. And it just amazes me. It's cool. But here's the thing about that. As I listened to her sitting right there, and then as my week went along, I found myself wondering about my passions in life, my desires for ministry, my faithfulness even to you guys. And then ultimately what it boiled down to, there's a lot of my in that if y'all didn't notice, right? Ultimately what it boiled down to is my commitment to God. As I did that, I discovered that what was lacking, you say, well, you're the preacher. You can't have things lacking in your life. Come hang out with me for a few days, right? But one of the things that I discovered that was lacking, perhaps probably the most and most recently, is my followership. My followership to my Savior, to my Lord Jesus Christ. And if you hang around me any at all, you'll find out that with a lot of things, I'm very guarded. But I'm also very transparent when I need to be. And that's what I'm being to you this morning. Is very transparent, very honest with you. And you say, well, why do you take that approach? Why are you sharing it that way? Because I want you to do the same thing, not to me, but to yourself. In this place this morning. Because listen, that's what happened to me. Boy, you talking about conviction? When she says, you know, I'm scared to death. You see that? And she's just one example, y'all. She's just one example. Throughout the week, God put other people, other examples in my eyesight, in my path, that I could look and say, man, God is really, you know. And what it all boiled down to is, guess what? They had made a commitment. They were dedicated and motivated and wanted to what? Follow Jesus. And there's a difference in saying, hey, I'm gonna go and I'm going to be a part of a church and I'm going to go and be a part of this ministry. There's a difference in saying that and saying, you know what? I'm going to follow Jesus. Because when you make that statement, you put yourself in the situation and in the shoes that those early disciples did. What did Jesus do to them? He walked up to them and he just basically said, hey, I want you to come follow me. And most of them, well, all of them, didn't react the way I do most of the time. Most of the time I start asking questions. What are you talking about, God? What are you talking about, Jesus? What do you mean follow you? I am following you. I mean, you've got me leading the church. And he looks at me and says, yeah, but you follow me the way you want to follow me. I need you to follow me the way I want you to follow me. So what I found what was lacking in my own life is my followership. My followership. So, Jesus, Holy Spirit, God the Father, changed where I was going to go. I'm tabling the message that I had last week, probably for next week or maybe the week after that. We'll see. It's his plan after all, right? But here's what I found out. The reason my followership is lacking is because I found myself more occupied and busy with things that had nothing to do with following him. You know who loves that? That's right. Satan loves our busyness. Now, you know what? I hear that all the time. And I used to say, oh, that's just an excuse. But you know what? Sometimes it is, but I think most of the time, it's the truth. There's so many things that we have access to, so many things that this world throws at us that we can get involved in and be a part of and go do, that guess what? We want to do it because a lot of times they're fun, right? A lot of times we have an interest in it. And look, and I'm not belittling those things. I just want you to see the scope of what I'm talking about here, right? We can allow ourselves to get consumed with this and this and this and this and this. And before you know it, if you really do take that honest step back and you do an evaluation, you'll say, my goodness, no wonder I'm tired. No wonder I'm worn out. No wonder when somebody asks me how it's going, I say, well, I'm just busy. Because I've put myself in the situation to where that's a truth. Right? Now, sometimes we do use that as an excuse, right? But you know who loves that? Satan. Satan. You know why he loves it? Because if he can occupy our mind and our thoughts, then he can distract us from where it is our heart truly lies. Does that make sense? And if he distracts us enough, before long, we'll forget about following the one we ought to be following. And we'll be chasing after stuff that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Paul, boy, Paul was smart. He taught about this, and he told us to be on guard against this tactic. And I want to put this up there, 2 Corinthians 11:3, and this is what it says. I am afraid that as the serpent, who's the serpent? Satan. Deceived who? Eve. Now, we know it was also Adam. Let's don't forget men. Adam had a part in this, right? I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning. Now, get this. Your what? Thoughts. Where's that at? Your mind. Your thoughts will be led astray from doing what? From a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Whew. Can I just, I started by talking about my honesty and my transparency. Can I just tell you that Jesus and the Holy Spirit wore me out this week? Because of that verse right there. Because of that verse right there. And that verse right there is why we find ourselves in the series that I'm going to start for a few weeks. I don't know yet. I think it's just 3 weeks. It might be longer. We'll just see what God has in store. But this series is going to be a series of messages about our sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Or can I say it this way? Our lack of sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to invite you to consider this right here. Are you truly committed? There's that word, boy. That's one of the words that people, ooh, they cringe every time I hear it, don't they? Women, y'all remember when y'all were dating your husbands? Drove you crazy because they wouldn't commit, didn't it? I got some smiles. Y'all know it's true. Y'all know it's true. Guys, look at me. It's okay when it's the right thing to commit. When it's the right person that loves Jesus, it's okay to commit. It's okay to commit to following Jesus Christ. Is it easy always? No. Sometimes it is. Is it always great? Not always. Because you'll find yourself in situations that God puts you in that, whew, you think, whoo, how did I get here? And Jesus says, I put you there for a reason, for a purpose. So look, let's first consider what it means to be committed. So the Cambridge Dictionary defines commitment as this. It's a promise or a firm decision to do something. Nobody, I don't think, would disagree with that, right? Sound like a good definition. But it also goes on, it says, and I love this word, a willingness. Look, if you go say, I want to be committed, then guess what has to come first? That right there, a willingness. Okay? Nobody's going to be committed if they don't really desire to be committed. So the Cambridge Dictionary, this is what it says. A willingness to give your time and energy to a job, activity, or something you believe in. And I've said many times, you either believe in Jesus or you don't. And if you believe in Jesus, guess what you ought to do? You ought to be committed to Him. You ought to be committed to Him. In other words, the committed Christian is someone who has wholeheartedly decided to give up their time and energy for the purpose of following Christ. Now, do we have other things that we do? Absolutely. We have jobs, right? We have families. We have home. We have all those things, right? But guess what? If you make your commitment to Jesus Christ, then I can promise you this, because I know this. He will help you with all that other stuff. Now, again, will it always be easy? Nope. But He will help you with all that other stuff. Excuse me. When our commitment to following Christ is genuine, then all our ways will reflect a genuine love for the Father. Now, 1 Kings 8:61 says this, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God. And what does it say? To walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments as at this day. Now, why do you think it says as at this day? Well, if you think about who we are in Christ, Christ tells us we have to take up our cross. We have to die daily, right? Well, this is Old Testament. Well, guess what? God said it back then too. Follow me, my statutes, my commandments. Set your heart, right, towards me every day. And that's what this is saying. Hey, put your mind, your heart, where it ought to be. Now, many of you sitting here have given your life to Christ. And I love it. Man, I hope you got a party and a celebration when it happened, because it's a big deal. But it's the after that happens. Have you been able to do this? Have you been able to give that heart and let that heart be focused where it ought to be focused every day? And I'll just be honest with you. It's hard to do every day. That's why Jesus teaches us every day you got to die all over again. And what happens when something dies? It's done, right? You got to let it die. And then guess what happens? When it's truly dead and you die every day, then He comes along and He says, hey, now we got a new day ahead of us. Follow me and let's see what happens. It's important to understand this. Following Jesus is serious business. I'm going to say that again. Following Jesus is serious business. It's not something to be taken lighthearted. It's not. It's not something that we can have a lighthearted approach at or towards. Good example. It's not our church because we're great, okay? Today's churches are filled with far too many people who are wishy-washy with their faith. When is the last time you considered your commitment to Jesus Christ? When is the last time you evaluated the impact that your commitments have on your life? When is the last time something you were committed to had a profound effect, not just on you, because we're selfish like that, right? We want our commitments to affect us. But when's the last time your commitment or your commitments in life had a profound effect on the kingdom? I want to look this morning at someone from biblical history who understood the powerful effects of being committed to God. And we're going to start in the book of Joshua. If you want to go there in your word, I'll give you just a second. I think it's the, fifth book, Old Testament. but Joshua, you know, come after who? Moses, right? Look in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, "Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses." I'm going to pause right there because that's key. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I'm going to give to you. That's a promise from God. To who? Israel. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? And then here's a repeat of verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now hidden in that is what you found in 1 Kings 8:61. It says, let your heart therefore be wholly true to the Lord our God, walking what? In His statutes and keeping His commandments at this day. Did not the message from God to the people of Israel say, look, I'm going to give you all this, wherever your foot touches, wherever the rivers run, wherever the sun rises and sets, all that you can see, I'm going to give you that as long as you do what? Follow me. Be faithful to me. Now, we know the history of the Israelites. How successful were they? Even in Joshua's day, we see lots. If you read the whole book of Joshua, and we're not going to do that today. I mean, we can if y'all want to, but we're not. They had great success. They followed the leading of Joshua, who was following the leading of God, and he took them into battle, and they won battles. But guess what? They also had some setbacks along the way, okay? And we're going to talk about that here shortly. But what we see here in the opening of this book is the commissioning of Joshua. And God informed him that not Moses, but he, Joshua, would be the one to lead his people into the promised land. Put yourself in Joshua's shoes. Woo! You think that Harley might have been scared the first time she got up here? You think the first time I ever preached a sermon, boy, I was like a cat on a hot tin roof. I'm telling you. Had a guy come up to me afterwards and said, man, you like watching a tennis match. You know? Well, hope you like tennis because I'm going to move. But listen, put yourself in Joshua's shoes. He had followed Moses. He had served God. Now God says, hey, it's your turn, big boy. Now you get to be the one to take them over here and do all this. You think Joshua might have had to decide in that moment that he was committed to God and his people? Boy, I think so. I believe so. So, you see the commissioning here of Joshua. And in commissioning Joshua, God knew the difficulties that he would face as he accepted that charge. God knew that his people, Israelites, right, were wishy-washy. He just watched them wander in the wilderness. How many years? Guess what? If you wishy-washy, that's what happens. You walk around wondering, okay, God, what you got in store with me? Well, if you wishy-washy in your faith, it may be a lot of time passes before you discover what that is. So God knew, as Joshua would lead them, that they were going to face difficulties because they were wishy-washy. You know what? God also knew that they were weak in their faith and they were wimpy followers. God knew that these wimpy and weak Israelites would never be able to truly possess the land as he always intended. Now he told them, he said, hey, I'm going to give you everything as long as you follow my statutes and my command. And he said that knowing his audience. Do you think he looks at us sometimes and says, God, I got so much more in store for you if you would just follow me. Just follow me. I think so. But God looked at his people, his chosen people, and he knew that he would not be able to bless them in the manner that he intended to bless them. And it goes back to the title of this series of messages, commitment. There's that word again. You're going to hear it a lot in the next few weeks. His people, God's people, lacked commitment. Lacked commitment. The same holds very true for us as New Testament believers. We cannot be committed to Jesus and be wimpy. We cannot be committed to Jesus and be weak. And we cannot be committed to Jesus and guess what? Not be committed. It's one thing to say, hey, I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior. It's another thing to believe it and then go do it, live it, walk it. And be committed to it. That's why I said earlier, our church is not our church. Y'all notice how I'm trying to be polite and not offend y'all. Guess what? Our church is not exempt from it. We have churches all across our world that's full of weak, wimpy, non-committed Christians. And what it needs to have is strong, courageous, fully committed followers. I wish we could be that. I think the Israelites wish they could have been that in their time as well. We see in those verses there, you see that phrase, I mentioned it to you as I read through, be strong and courageous. See, God knew that Joshua and his family were solid. He knew that they were solid, right? And that they were committed. But God also knew that Joshua needed to be encouraged to remain strong. That he needed to be encouraged to remain courageous. He needed to be encouraged to remain committed to the cause. That's why I want to borrow those words this morning with hopes of encouraging each of you to guess what? When it comes to your faith, be strong and be courageous. Be strong and be courageous. Why? We got enough people who aren't. Enough Christians who aren't. If you are here this morning and you've decided to follow Jesus, look at me. Don't give up. Don't give in. If I could list to you guys the last year of our lives, mine and my family's life, the things that has happened. And this ain't a list comparison type thing. I'm just trying to make a point here. I would have every reason and every excuse in the book to crawl in a hole somewhere and never come out. And I saying that and y'all shaking your heads and agreeing, you know what? That means you got stuff like that in your life too. But if you belong to him, you belong to him, don't stop fighting. Don't give in. Don't give up. Be like Joshua, knowing, hey, this stuff's gonna come, but God is greater. This stuff is going to come, but my Jesus is stronger. Be strong. Be courageous in your faith. And people say, well, how come you haven't crawled in that hole? Because I don't want to. I want to follow him. Am I going to do it right and perfect every time? Nope. Because I'm still me. And look, I've said this before. I don't like most of you. Gosh, I'm glad y'all laugh, because I'm just kidding. I don't, though. I love you. I love you. And love, Jeff, true love is a lot deeper than just liking. And I love you enough to be honest with you and tell you, when you want to crawl in that hole, don't. Don't. Be strong and be courageous. Now, trust this. Know that if you decided to follow Jesus, that you need to be courageous. You need to trust that God has your back. You need to trust that, as we read here, as the words Joshua shared through God to his people, that guess what? If you trust that, he will never what? Leave you or forsake you. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe that. Now look with me at the last chapter of Joshua. You say, well, I mean, what good is that going to do me? We read the beginning, now we're going to go all the way to the back, right? We're going to skip all that stuff in the middle. Well, I want to show you something. I want to show you something. So we're going to read verses 1 through 15 of Joshua 24. And it says, now before I read this, I want you to know that you know, the Israelites hadn't changed much. They still went up and down. They still followed Jesus some, or followed God some, and then decided not to follow God some. And, you know, they had some successes. They had some setbacks, things of that nature. But guess what? Joshua, at the end of his life, decided to give them what? One more message. So this is what's taking place. It says, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officials, or the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord. Y'all know when that says, thus says the Lord? That means whatever's going through your mind right now, shut it off and listen. Because God's got something he wants you to hear. And Joshua says, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt, and I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it, and afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand. And you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the leaders of Jericho fought against you. And also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And I gave them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Now I'm going to pause right there because I want to read the rest of this in a minute. Think about what Joshua, God through Joshua, just said to the people of Israel. He gave them a historical account of their lives. And in doing so, what do you find in there? You find a word that's repeated a few times called possess. And then you find the other word that says, I did this. Y'all, you remember that song we played? I don't normally pick the songs, but I did this morning because I wanted to play that song to be intentional. Because I really want you to know that, hey, when blessings come in your life, it ain't anything from this world. I promise you that. God did that. God did that. And that's what Joshua is telling his people, that God has put him in charge of leading. He said, hey, guess what? All that suffering, all that junk you went through, even by choice to wander around in the wilderness, when I brought you out of that, guess what? I did that. What was he saying? Not under their power, but God's power. Look, why do you say that, preacher? Because when you make a decision that you're going to be committed to Jesus Christ, guess what? You'll do things under his power and stop doing things under your power. Amen. Whew. I ought to stop right there because that's good, y'all. You see, in these verses, we get Joshua explaining to the people the very important details about belonging to a larger community of committed followers. He's explaining that being committed to the cause brought with it painful moments, moments of extreme discomfort, inconveniences, and yes, sometimes some suffering. And as much as we cannot stand hearing that word commitment, right, men? We don't like hearing that following God may bring all those other things to us as well. Instead, we like to think that God and the church ought to be serving us. God and the church ought to be taking care of us. And we could have a side sermon on that, because part of that is true. In His Word, He does instruct us as followers, as believers, to do what? To take care of our own, especially orphans and widows. So we could have a side sermon talk about that, right? But most of us, we see God and we see the church. I mean, just think about it. And I realize I'm saying some things that's hard to hear sometimes. But just think about your prayer life. Most of the time we ask God for stuff. Gimme, 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 gimme. I mean, I'm just being honest, y'all. I'm no different. That's our nature. I think Linda said a while ago, we're human beings. We want to please self. Can I just say this to you? If you're going to commit to being a follower, you can't please self. But I tell you who can. Him. And I think Brian says it all the time. He said it to me a bunch. Right? As our heart grows more fond of our Savior, then He gets to understand the desires of our heart. And then the Bible talks about this. As our heart gets more in tune with His heart, then the desires of His heart then become our desires in our heart. And guess what begins to happen? Our life, here's that word, becomes more happy or more fruitful or more pleasing. But I want you to pick up on something. It's when your heart begins to get in tune with His heart. Amen. Because His desires for you and your life are much greater, I promise you this, than your desires. But when they get in tune, whew, how great is that? How awesome is that? How powerful is that? Simply put, we like to be comfortable, so much so that if our commitment to Jesus causes any form of discomfort or pain, we're ready to just throw in the towel and run back to what's comfortable. Y'all remember when the Israelites was wandering in the wilderness, one of the first complaints that they brought to Moses was, well, look what you've done to us. We'd be better off to go back to where? Egypt. Well, what was happening to them in Egypt? Slavery. They were captives. Some of you are sitting in here this morning, you got things in this world in your life that are holding you captive. And when you say, Jesus, I'm not going to commit to you because I'm more comfortable being in captivity, then that's a problem. That's a problem. I don't know what it is, but I promise you, because I got them myself. There's things in this world holding you captive. Guess what? When you commit your life to Christ, you'll no longer be in that captivity. Generally speaking, the current day Jesus follower is not much different than the ancient Israelite following God during during Joshua's time. Joshua's call to the people in verses 14 and 15, let's read that, says this: "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served before the river and in Egypt, and what? Serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." And then Joshua says this: "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now there's your plaque. You see that all over the place, right? And that's what it is to most people. It's a plaque. But I hope, my desire for you is when you leave here today, that that's the decision you make. And it's not just a plaque. And if you have that plaque, I hope you see it from this day forward as a reminder. As a reminder, hey, guess what? Be strong. Be courageous. Stand firm in my faith. Follow what it says. Be strong and courageous. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So what we see here in verses 14 and 15, it stands as that reminder that we too must decide which God that we will worship and serve. And there's words in there that says, will it be the gods your ancestors served? So what Joshua was saying, hey, you know that those idols that your ancestors served in the past? And then he goes on and he says, or will it be what? The gods of the Amorites. Who's the gods of the Amorites? Well, they had been given the land of the Amorites. Okay? So guess what happened to some of the Israelites? They started serving the gods of that land, right? So he says, hey, or will it be God? The one who has done all the stuff that I just told you and reminded you about through history that he's done. Everybody sitting in this room can probably look back on your life, whether you're a believer or not a believer, and you can probably say, man, if you're a believer, you'll say, God did that. I know God did that. If you're not a believer, you might say, like in the song, well, God did that, but I don't know why. And then I go back to this, God, because he loves you. Because he loves you. Let me explain this a little bit further. Joshua presented them three choices. First, choose to return to the idolatrous ways of their past. Return to what was known, to what was comfortable. Now, it's not easy to move on from things in our past, especially when it involves our friends and our family. That's tough, isn't it? It's tough. But listen, because of the prosperity and the season of plenty that God had given them, Joshua was encouraging them to continue laying aside their idols from before. He was saying to them, hey, it's time to lay aside yesterday and embrace tomorrow. That other song we sang was Come Jesus Come. When's the last time you embraced your hope? All through that song it said what? Come, Jesus. Man, as a follower, as a believer, that's my hope. I got to do stuff while I'm still here. And I love the line that says, let it be today. Now, I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean that in a negative way. But man, how much better off would we be if it was today? Second, Joshua knew that some of his people had embraced the practices of the Amorites and set aside the ways of God. They found it easier to do what? Go along with society than it was to go against the grain and stand firm in their faith. Now, is that not an accurate picture of what's going on in our world today? Y'all, look, we are outcasts in this society. if you're a Christian, and I mean you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the society that we live in is not on your side. Not on your side. But you know what happens a lot of the time? And it's because our churches, those who are supposed to be followers of Christ, are wimpy and they're weak and they're not committed. And what happens is we just say, well, it's okay. It ain't hurting anybody, so it's okay. Can I just be honest with you? There's times, there's things in this world, there's things in our society that we got to stop saying that. There's things in our society that we have to stand up and say, you know what? That ain't how God intended it to be. And you are wrong. And it's not because I'm right. It's because He's the one that created it. Amen. It's having a proper mindset about what it is that you believe in. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and do heinous things and do it in an ugly way and a mean way, but guess what? If you and your family is going to stand up and serve God, then guess what? Don't let those things in your house. Don't let those things in your family. Don't let those things in your car as you ride around. If you do, you're compromising. You're no different than the Israelites were that Joshua just reminded them of. Hey, here in the land of the Amorites, hey, we're fat and comfortable and happy. Let's just join right in. That isn't what God intends. It's so much easier to accommodate than it is to go against the grain of the popular. Even if it means we compromise portions of our faith, and especially if it brings us pain or suffering. Finally, Joshua reminded them about God, the one who had brought them out of Egypt, the one who had preserved them, the one who had protected them, the one who had fulfilled every single one of His promises to them. Joshua wanted the people to understand that the false gods of their past, the false gods of their present, had done nothing for them. Can I ask you this? What is it that the gods of your past and the gods of your present are doing for you? Which one outweighs the other? God? Or those gods? That's what Joshua was asking his people. You see, that third choice was to return to God, to remain faithful to the one true, faithful God. He wanted them to recognize where they were and to count their many blessings. Makes me think of that song, Count Your Blessings, right? Name them one by one, right? He wanted them to count their blessings and then commit, not just in that day, but commit to a future with God. That's the message for us today. That's the message I hope for you today. We must choose between the things of our past, the present things, and the promise of eternal hope found only in Jesus Christ. I've said this a lot lately. There's no gray area with God. There either is or there is not. But I know this. Following Jesus doesn't promise unicorns, rainbows, and fat banking accounts. You know why? All those things are representative of what's imaginary or temporary. Jesus, however, guess what? He's not imaginary. He's not temporary. He's real. He's permanent. And following Him is the most satisfying, it's the most transformative, it's the most adventurous, it's the most rewarding, it's the most enjoyable commitment that you can ever make. That you can ever make. And you know this? We may not know where or what following Jesus has in store for us, but we can find comfort in knowing that He is the best choice for our life. He is trustworthy and faithful to lead us in a direction that serves and honors Him. You see, Joshua on his deathbed implored his people to continue choosing God. Today, as your pastor, hopefully not on my deathbed, but I implore you to continue choosing Jesus. I say it this way a lot. Chase after Him. You say, well, I ain't got to really chase because He's right there. That's true. But what I mean in that is what? Have that spirit about you to where you're just always going for Him. Going for Him. There He is. I'm going to Him. There He is. I'm going to Him. Because when you get that mindset, guess what? Then you'll be a follower of Jesus Christ. You won't say, oh, there He is. He's over there in this heinous, wretched place. I'm not going over there. No, you'll say, there He is. I'm going to Him. All that other stuff won't even matter. It won't even matter. Can I tell you the decisions or demands that following Jesus might place on you? Nope. Can I tell you that it'll be the best relationship that you'll ever enter into? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is it rewarding? Yes. Am I blessed? Yes. Am I loved? Yes. Am I a child of God? Yes. Am I a part of His kingdom? Yes. Do I have a hope beyond all hopes? Yes. And you know why? Jesus. And only because of Jesus. You see, Jesus calls those that He encounters to a moment of choice. He calls them to a moment of, guess what? Here's that word, commitment to follow Him. Now, I'm not Jesus, and I would never pretend to be. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning, and you hear His voice, though, and you know what that voice is saying? Two little simple words, follow me. Follow me. You know, when you hear those words, if you just heard those words, not from me, because I saw some of you mouthed it before I said it. That means you heard those words from the Spirit of God. If you heard those words this morning, guess what? You were just brought into a moment of choice. And your choice is what? Serve the gods of the past, the gods of the present, or serve Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I implore you. Y'all know what that word means? Strongly encourage you to consider your choice today before you leave this place. Will it be Him? And I'm just going to be honest with you. Or will it be you? Because if you choose the gods of the past, the gods of the present, in other words, the things of the world, the sins that you love hanging on to, if you choose all those things, you're choosing you. But if you say, I hear you, Jesus, and I'm going to lay down my fishing pole, I'm going to lay down my tax collecting book, and I'm just going to do what you say, and I'm just going to follow you, then you're choosing Him. You're committing to Him. So I'm going to close by saying this. I don't know your heart. Boy, I'm glad, because I ain't as loving and nice as He is. But I don't know where you sit today. If you're not committed to Him, will today be the day, like it says in that song? Can you leave those doors with that song, that hope in your mind and in your heart? Come, Jesus, come. Let it be today. let it be today. We're going to play a song. I'll be down here if you need me. But make a choice, guys. Make a choice before you leave today. It's either you or him. You or him. Come if you need to. Most of y'all know our local Mount Rest Mini Mall manager here. We've been talking for a while and just off and on. And her background had just a sprinkling of Jesus in it, but never a full dose. But this morning she's come and she said, I want to give my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. Now I want to share with you one of the things that I asked Angie. I said, you realize that doesn't make you perfect. It just means that you're going to follow him and let him work on you and get you. And she did that. Yep, I got it. So we're going to talk about baptism and all that stuff somewhere down the road. But the most important step, the most important thing has happened in this place today.
And yeah. I want to let everybody know God is so great.
Anybody else? I know this was up front, but I mean, maybe you were sitting in your pew. You're okay. It's okay. Hey, it's okay. I know you were set, but if you made a commitment, a decision for Christ in this place, let's celebrate it. Because, listen, just like being a follower of Jesus is serious business, if you give your life to Him, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. And look, I'm just being honest with you. I can't dance and I can't sing. But boy, if I could, when something like this happened, I'd put on a show for y'all. Good day, y'all. Good day. I'm going to pray, and we'll dismiss. Don't forget, tonight at 6:30, we'll finish up chapter 19 of Matthew. If you missed last week, I'm sorry. I'm not going to go back and repeat it because it was on divorce, and I just don't want to do that again. But I'm just playing. It was actually about marriage, not divorce. But we'll finish up chapter 19 tonight. Come by. I'm going to ask Angie to stay up here. Just come by and hug her neck, love on her. Is that okay?
We're all God's children.
Look, God will make you do uncomfortable things, so you might as well get used to it now, right? A large family. Mm-hmm. Large family. So let's pray, y'all. Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to send your Son, Jesus Christ, to make a way, to give us a hope, to save us from ourselves. And God, I will never, 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 never understand how you could do that outside of the fact that you love us that much. So God, this morning we thank you for that. We thank you for Angie and her commitment to following you. And Lord, I pray that those of us who might have made a prior commitment, that it becomes more real to us, and that we leave these doors today as a follower of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We love you, Father. We love you, King Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We pray all these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen.